Economic Chief in Waiting.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. He already won the election by a wide margin, but Barack Obama is about to embark on a campaign that requires as much, if not more, stamina. I'm talking about the selling of a stimulus package and an economic fallout that could total hundreds of billions of dollars. Today, in a speech at George Mason University, he's expected to outline more details of that plan. From North Carolina Public Radio, Janet Babin reports.
Today's speech at George Mason University will be the fourth consecutive day that Barack Obama talks about the faltering U.S. economy. He's trying to gain support for a two-year economic stimulus package that he wants to implement by February. It could cost around $800 billion. The president-elect says it will include tax relief to spur investment and help for cash-starved states. Congressional budget hawks could challenge the plan after a report yesterday said the budget deficit for this year could hit $1.2 trillion. The president-elect says there will be short-term additions to the deficit, but he promised to take unprecedented actions to ensure taxpayers can track how all the stimulus money is being spent. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
World markets are lower across the board this morning. European shares are down by 1 to 2%. Asian stocks took a beating, losing 2 to 4%. The Dow lost more than 240 points yesterday, more than 2.5%. NASDAQ and S&P 500 shares lost traction as well. The price of a barrel of oil plummeted 12% but rebounded a bit. It's trading at about $43 this morning. In this time of colds and flu, the best medicine for grocery chains seems to be good public relations, and that means handing out free antibiotics. In the last week, East Coast chains Giant and Stop and Shop announced offers for free generic prescriptions. Southeast chain Publix has been doling out no-cost antibiotics for more than a year. Health experts say while it may sound healthy, it could be a formula for later trouble. Here's Sarah Gardner.
Giant said it started handing out free antibiotics after customers told them they were struggling to make ends meet. But retail analysts say these stores also want to attract more business in a tough market. Supermarket consultant Bill Bishop.
Walmart and others were doing the $4 generic offer. I think this is just raising the ante.
But health experts sound a warning. Patients often think antibiotics will cure anything. Infectious disease expert Sarah Cosgrove at Johns Hopkins says free antibiotics makes them even more attractive to the patient.
Doctors, much like parents, often have trouble saying no to a request for antibiotics.
Experts worry about rising resistance to antibiotics. Cosgrove says there's no evidence that these free drugs have resulted in increased prescriptions, but the Infectious Diseases Society of America urges stores to hand out a little antibiotic education along with that free penicillin. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win.
Prosecutors say alleged Ponzi schemer Bernard Madoff violated terms of his bail. While he's been under house arrest, they say he and his wife have been sending jewelry and other items worth more than $1 million in the mail. Family and friends received Tiffany and Cartier watches, an emerald ring, cufflinks. Some of those things could go toward repayment to those he allegedly bilked. So what is it about tough economic times that brings out the greed in some people? Schemers who take advantage of a system by offering an investment so tantalizing that it's hard to pass up. Chris McKenna is writing a book about all that called Partners in Crime. Chris, Bernie Madoff and Charles Ponzi aren't the only examples out there. Who else taught us a lesson about scamming?
The figure who actually we should all be talking about is somebody named Ivar Kruger, who was for a time the richest man in the world, or so he was thought to be. And this was during the 1920s and early 1930s. In fact, when the great crash happened in 1929, he was put on the cover of Time magazine because he was the only person who managed to survive the crash without any problems, or so people thought.
Well, talk a little bit about it.
So Kruger was known as the Match King, and what he did was he went to governments all over the world, and he said to them, if I could get a monopoly in matches in your country, I'll give you quite a lot of cash. I'll give you tens of millions of dollars. And during the 1920s, after World War I, people needed this money.
So we're talking about like matches to light cigarettes, right, or fires?
Absolutely. So these were just simply matches that people used, common people used all the time. And the great thing about them was if you monopolized them, everybody was using them constantly.
So this had to have been a disaster.
Oh, because his securities were the biggest securities in the world. More people owned his securities than anything else. And all of the economies were intertwined via the Match King.
And so the world economy was literally affected by all of this.
Yeah, absolutely. So he was Swedish. And when this happened, his debts were greater than the entire national debt of Sweden. And what happened was that he was discovered in 1932, and he committed suicide. And when they figured out what had gone wrong, everybody was up in arms. And in fact, the Senate held hearings on this. And the result was the creation of the Securities and Exchange Commission, the very organization that's supposed to regulate these things nowadays.
So how do we stop something like this from happening again? What do we look for?
Well, one of the things that happened with him and that happened with Madoff and has happened with several other people is that there's a consistency to the returns that seems problematic. So one of the problems is that these people seem to do well in bad times and in good. And that's something that seems very appealing to all of us, but should raise alarm bells. In other words, if the market's down and they're still doing really well all the time, they're somehow managing their earnings. The other thing is that in both cases, they had very small set of people around them who were controlling things. In the case of Madoff, we now know that it's a very small accounting firm that looked after him. In the case of Ivar Kruger, again, it was a tiny little accounting firm that was looking after him. And so we should be concerned, basically, if only a few people are the control for something that's going on like this.
Dr. Chris McKenna, director of the MBA program at Oxford University, and writing a book on white-collar crime, Partners in Crime. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.